Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Talk a little college basketball. Former All-SEC guard at Vanderbilt, coach at CPA. Hey, Drew, how are you, man?
Hey, Brent, how are you guys doing today?
We are good. Tennessee, Kentucky. So interesting how different those two games were. And I think Coach Cal summed it up pretty well. He said, look, we brought the aggression in Lexington. They brought it in Knoxville, and that explains it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if you look and watch this game, you could see from the very initial tip how excited Tennessee was for this game. But I thought, you know, obviously the storyline in Lexington was the front court play and the dominance in the interior by the Kentucky front line over the Tennessee front line. Yeah, clearly the storyline in this game was the play of Jordan Bone. I don't know if I've seen a guard all year play as a complete of a game and as efficient of a game as that young man did in this game. I mean, he was terrific on both ends of the floor. Obviously, he's getting a lot of attention for going 5 of 5 from the three-point line at 27 points. But, Brent, once again, it's amazing to watch him play and lead this team and his development with having 3 assists and 0 turnovers as he handles the ball from start to finish. It's really become incredible watching his maturation over the last year.
Do you think Tennessee has its swagger back?
You know, I don't know. I thought the game at Ole Miss at the beginning of the week was huge. I mean, it was a game, obviously, very difficult to play. The environment in Ole Miss, it was a must. Oh, I hate to say a must-win game for Ole Miss, as they're really wrestling for their resume right now for the NCAA tournament. But surviving and figuring out a way to win that game, I thought, was huge for their confidence. And I felt like that momentum really carried into Saturday. Being back in Thompson Bowling Arena, I think, really played into, you know, having that extreme amount of confidence. And you hate to say it, but I think they wanted a little redemption from their play in Lexington, especially when somebody like Tyler Hero, you know, says that these guys are scared or the front line scared of those guys. They were clearly ready to play and amped up and excited to respond to what had happened in Lexington.
Drew Maddox with us at Drew Maddox on Twitter.
How much difference do you think Reed Travis would have made in the game? Because he certainly made a big difference in the first one.
I think he would have made a difference. But I think, you know, this game, you know, Mickey, I just think Tennessee was so ready to go. Yeah. Grant Williams was terrific. You know, it was great to see some plays made by Admiral Schofield as well. But I thought Fulkerson even gave him some great energy off the bench. Didn't score a point, but I thought just really provided some production. I still say Kyle Alexander has got to find ways to get them some points inside. I mean, it can't just be on Williams and Bone, yeah, because Lamonte Turner, we saw, had a tough shooting day the other day. Admiral Schofield had a tough shooting day. So they still got to figure out ways to get Bowden and Turner some points. But I just think Tennessee was going to be too strong. And when when Jordan Bone plays at that level, he is the premier guard in the SEC. And I think there was no way they were going to lose that game.
And he didn't get a nomination for the Cousy Award, mm-hmm, ultimately. I know there's some people really upset about that snub.
I think that's crazy. I think he's shattering record books right now in the SEC for assist to turnover ratio. Obviously, Tennessee being one of the top 5 teams this entire season, who they've played, what they've done, the venues they've played at, and how good he's been. I think that's just a tragedy that he wasn't listed among the top point guards in all of college basketball.
Drew Maddox with us on 3HL.
SEC tournament coming up. Obviously, everybody already looking forward to kind of the rubber match with those two teams. And I know we're still a couple weeks away, but what do you expect from that when that time comes on? I say a neutral court. Brent says it ain't a neutral court because that's Big Blue Nation there at the Stone.
Well, I think it's going to be fun, Dawn, because, you know, obviously we're accustomed to Big Blue finding their way into the Bridgestone, but I look for a lot of orange this year to be in Nashville. I think the Tennessee fan base is extremely excited about what this team has done. I think Rick Barnes has done a terrific job, and I think you're going to find some orange in that building. I think, you know, this week is really key, as you got really 3 teams in Tennessee, LSU, and Kentucky at the top of the leaderboard in terms of the SEC race. And when you look at who they have remaining left to play, you know, this Tennessee game, I'm assuming they're going to beat Mississippi State this week in the midweek game. How about having to go to Auburn and play against Bruce Pearl for what could be the game to see if they could clinch the SEC championship? I believe LSU has a difficult task to go to Florida. Obviously, Vanderbilt, easy game. I'm going to go ahead and say LSU will win on Saturday here in Nashville. But Kentucky really has the toughest schedule to me to go on the road to Ole Miss and Florida and Lexington to close out. I think Tennessee punches their way into the SEC championship.
Interesting. Locally, OVC basketball tournament. So the top two seeds, Belmont and Murray State, get into the semifinals. And we've talked about why, you know, one bid leagues do that. They want their best teams playing on championship night if they can. So it looks like the teams that could get in the way, and basketball is weird, so maybe not, but Austin Peay with Belmont, they're on Belmont's side, and Jacksonville State on Murray State's side. How great would that Murray State-Belmont matchup be in the championship game? Sorry, Austin Peay fans.
It'd be incredible. I mean, those matchups the last, you know, 5 to 7 years have been epic. And just coming down to the last possession, multiple overtime games. I think Belmont obviously is very excited that Jacksonville State finds themselves on the lower side of the bracket with Murray State. As you know, Ray Harper and Jacksonville State has really had Belmont's number. So Austin Peay, I think obviously Belmont had to come all the way back in Clarksville to win that game this year, where they just had a great second half effort to come back and win. But Belmont versus Ja Morant in a final to go to the NCAA tournament would just be incredible matchup.
Meanwhile, with the A-Sun, Lipscomb gets rolling towards their, you know, trying to earn their second berth in a row. That's tonight.
I can't believe that tournament's already starting here in Nashville. And, you know, obviously Casey Alexander has the one seed, and the way the A-Sun does it, the home team gets to play at home on their home court the entire time. Yep. How much fun would it be to see on ESPN a Liberty versus Lipscomb matchup in a rubber match to see who can make their way into the final? And I think the other interesting thing in all of this, guys, is when you're looking at all the bracketology reports, Lipscomb and Belmont find their way into at least the discussion for bids. I do think both of these conferences are one-bid leagues, but at least they're in the discussion for what they've done to ramp up their non-conference schedule.
Yeah, the net rankings, Belmont at 45, Lipscomb at 46.
Lipscomb's resume, you know, is a little bit ahead just because obviously what they did in Texas when they beat and went on the road against TCU and SMU, that UCLA win for Belmont just doesn't look quite as sexy as those two Lipscomb wins.
Yeah, Lipscomb hosts 8 seed Kennesaw State tonight at 7 o'clock. Then they would play Thursday if they win against either Florida Gulf Coast or NJIT. And what's interesting about that is they lost to Florida Gulf Coast. They beat NJIT by 4, both those games just recently. So certainly not a slam dunk for them and Liberty to meet in the championship game. But the championship game, if Lipscomb gets there, would be Sunday at Allen Arena at 3 o'clock on ESPN. And that would be a great environment. And while we're talking about them, congratulations to Casey Alexander. Drew named A-Sun Coach of the Year, and Garrison Matthews named Player of the Year from Franklin.
Well deserved on both accounts. Both of those guys, just so well deserving. Casey Alexander, one of my favorite coaches in college basketball. What he's done at Lipscomb the last 5 to 7 years is incredible. And watching Garrison Matthews play over here at Franklin High School and to see where he has developed is really, really an amazing story. Just a tremendous young man, can score the ball in so many ways. I think this Lipscomb team is going to do it again. I look forward to them getting a great, great seed in the NCAA tournament and potentially getting one of those upset games that that we all love to see on that first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
How well do we know the number one team in the country, Gonzaga? I mean, they beat Duke, obviously, early in the season, but when they start to go through that conference schedule, I mean, how well do we – I watched them the other night against St. Mary's, and – you know, for about 30 minutes, Drew, they look pretty pedestrian. Then they go on a 17-0 run and win easily.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brent. I mean, I see them play, you know, in like the Thanksgiving tournaments, and then you start to see them about now. You know, it really is amazing what Mark Few's done there. But I don't even want to try to attempt their leading scorer's name. I see him now in all the NBA mock drafts. How do you say it? Hachimura, however you say his name. I mean, he averages Hachimura. 21 yeah. points a game. He's dominant. Obviously, we saw him dominate the Duke front line back in Maui, in the Maui Classic. But I really love the play of Josh Perkins. When I watch him play, he's one of those steady guys at the point guard spot. And this is just a team we've come accustomed to just know that they're going to make their way. Is their strength of schedule difficult enough for them to really, really punch their ticket through the NCAA tournament?
I saw a tweet, Drew, earlier today, and you're a little bit younger than we are, but it was the anniversary of Hank Gather's death. And for people who don't know him or maybe don't know his name, this was a guy who led the nation in scoring and rebounding. He's one of the greatest college basketball players I ever remember. It was such a tragic thing to lose him.
Yeah, I've always had affinity for Hank Gathers and his story because he suffers from the same heart condition that my father does. And so whenever, as a young man, I knew that story and when that occurred, it just made me think about my father and all the years that he competed and just being so thankful that nothing ever happened to him. And just, I can't help but think about that Bo Kimble lasting impression shooting those left-handed free throws. Man. In his honor, just one of the chilling moments of the NCAA tournament, and thinking about Loyola Marymount making that special run, scoring all those points, just run and gun system. So just special stuff that takes me back to my childhood. I just really, really fell in love with their story.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Google search that Hank Gather story, but also Google search that Loyola Marymount team. That honestly was the most fun I ever had watching a team. Like, that team was the most fun to watch that I can ever remember, and you're right, they were scoring 130, 140
coached by
points.
Paul Westhead, who'd been the Lakers coach.
Terrell Lowry, Bo Kimble, Jeff Fryer, all those guys, Pierce Steamer.
Yeah.
They had a guy named the Human Bruise because he would go diving on the floor every 5 seconds. But, yeah, Bo Kimble, for those that don't know, and Drew alluded to it, would shoot a free throw his first free throw of the game, left-handed. He was right-handed. Gathers was left-handed, and he would make them. And that's... I get chills even thinking about it. Hey, great stuff, Drew. Appreciate you, man. And congrats on a great season at CPA, brother.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. And always thank you all for your support and your encouragement. It means the world to me. So thank you for your friendship.